The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
There's been a lot of chatter this week about a united Ireland, but I suppose it's been a good opportunity to reflect on how far the island has come in the last 30 years. Another island that's currently not fully united is Cyprus, and our reporter Alex Rowley has been visiting the United Nations Green Line to see some of the work that Irish personnel are doing on the ground there. Alex, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, will you give us a brief outline as to how Cyprus looks in its current form?
Yeah, so, you know, you essentially have like a complete split in the island, north and south. So the southern part of the island is one that most of us would fly into on our holidays to Paphos and places like that. This is an EU member state, and it's actually just finished up holding the presidency of the Council of Europe before Ireland took it over. The north side of the island then is only recognised by one country, Pat, and that is Turkey. Mm-hmm. There's still tens of thousands of Turkish troops stationed there after the Turkish invasion in 1974, or as the UN would call it, an intervention. Along the island then from coast to coast, you've got this line drawn as well, which is the Green Line, or as they call it locally, the buffer zone. But as UN spokesperson Alim Sadiq explains, it wasn't always like this.
So we've had a presence in Cyprus since 1964, when fighting broke out between the two main communities on the island. Our presence on the island has been focused on three primary objectives. Firstly, to prevent tensions between the opposing forces on either side of the buffer zone. Secondly, is to maintain law and order across the buffer zone. Most people don't realize that tens of thousands of people live and work inside the buffer zone, and those activities have to be managed in a safe and secure manner. And as the island has been divided for over 60 years now, we have a team of civil affairs staff who are working with the communities who live and work on either side of the buffer zone and help to bring them together and preparing the ground for an eventual solution on the island. The role of the peacekeepers is to keep the peace, and it's for the politicians on the island to find a solution that would pave the way for the exit of the peacekeepers. Before 2003, the two communities were completely sealed off from each other. And it's only since 2003, when the first crossing point opened, that the two sides were able to cross from one side of the island to the other side of the island and realize that the Cypriot coffee that they're drinking on one side of the island is exactly the same as the Cypriot coffee they're drinking on the other side of the island. You know, for the first time, we are seeing young people from each community meet each other. You know, we've had generations of young people grown up apart from the other side. And I think most people who are visiting Cyprus don't realize just how divided the island has become over so many years. And the continuing division only makes it harder.
Yeah,
for a solution. And so that's why we put so much of our time and effort into helping to bring the two sides together and build a belief in a shared future together.
That's Alim Sadiq from the United Nations. So, Alex, tell us about what you saw when you entered the buffer zone. I mean, is it easy to move about?
Yeah, it's quite easy. There's loads of crossings across the island, some pedestrian crossings, some vehicle crossings. And this was one of the vehicle crossings I went through. So I got a taxi from my hotel, which was in the centre of Nicosia, the capital, over to the eastern side of the city. And this crossing was just across from the University of Cyprus. I was met at that checkpoint by a Pakistani soldier working for the UN before being driven through the countryside to the UNFISAIP headquarters. That's what they call it. It's instead of UNIFIL, for instance, that's what they call it there. Around 14 countries provide military personnel to this mission, and a dozen countries are sending police officers. That includes Ireland. There are 14 Gardaí there right now. And I ran into Detective Sergeant Aoife Riley at the UN police headquarters there, and she explains her role.
I'm the training officer for UN police. However, when we start here, we all start as individual police officers. So we're employed and seconded by the United Nations over here. So we all would have started by essentially driving, you would have seen the big UN, the white jeeps. So we would patrol and be a constant, presence within the buffer zone. which is 180 kilometres between the Greek Cypriot community and the Turkish Cypriot community here in Cyprus. So our job there is to support the maintenance of public order within the buffer zone, support and maintain access into the buffer zone, and to deal with and work with the communities who live and reside within the buffer zone.
And I suppose people will know at home, like a lot of people know their local guards. There's a certain attitude that local guards have. How does that translate to Cyprus, you know, because there's a certain language they use at home, there's a certain friendliness as well, and kind of banter, and sometimes a certain directness too that might be lost on other people. So how does that tend to work out here?
To be very honest with you, I think we have commonalities between here and Ireland. Obviously we have, you know, two different communities, all living on the one island. So I suppose, you know, we're aware of that from home ourselves. So again, I think from our perspective, you know, I think it's very easy for us to stop the Jeep, you know, get down onto the ground and speak with people. I know personally, I have been working within the buffer zone and I've stopped the Jeep and I've walked around little villages that are on that are within the buffer zone, and people will come out and talk to you. And I think from an Irish perspective, they'll see the Irish flag on my shoulder and they will always have a story about how they visited Galway, or, you know, one particular guy, Connemara, another person up in Belfast. So everybody has a story. Nearly that commonality bonds us. And a lot of time as well, I suppose it's that approach that maybe it's inherent to Irish police, you know, that we will speak to people. And again, I think it's nearly, how would I say, you meet a farmer out in the buffer zone. And I know I have, you know, when I have been out there, and they nearly look like your uncle, you know, your uncle who's farming. They have the same love for the land. They have the same respect, you know, for what they're doing, their hard work that they do every day.
And that's Detective Sergeant Aoife Riley, based with the United Nations Police in Cyprus. Now, for people wondering, Alex, how does it all work? I mean, if you're a Garda, how do you get to go to Cyprus?
Yeah, it's essentially like every other, you know, opportunity that comes up in the Guard. So there's two rotations every year. So while there are like a dozen Gardaí out there right now, six of these would swap around in October and the other half would go out in April. So internal competitions are advertised like they would for going as Rose Policing or the Drugs Unit or whatever it is. And then the Guards can apply. If they're selected, they get posted out to Cyprus for a year. And I mean, so you can hear Aoife loves her job there, and she just kept saying how much she's delighted she's done it.
Look at how important the role we're doing is. Like, we're out here, we are maintaining peace, we're maintaining the status quo, we're protecting the integrity of the buffer zone. But not only that, we're meeting the most lovely people from the island of Cyprus. We are meeting fabulous colleagues from all over the world. You know, as I said, there's 13 police contributing countries over here at the moment. And it is amazing to speak with your colleague. As I said, like, you met one of my colleagues from Bosnia who put on a West of Ireland accent to you. So like, it's just, you know, it's just lovely. So I suppose my word of advice to my colleagues is, you know, definitely don't let it pass you. If it's something that you have that you would like to kind of make a bit of a difference, and I'm not using the cliche about world peace, etc., but it's something that is nearly greater than you and greater than us, that you can contribute to something as big and as important as the job we have over here in Cyprus. So 100%, if you can do it, go for it. I'm very proud to do what I've done. I remember a retired member of An Garda Síochána Síochána from my hometown, who's in the United Nations, years and years ago, and that was the first time I'd ever heard of them. So I just always remember thinking, what an amazing thing to do. So I'm just delighted I'm doing it, and I'm delighted I'm working with such amazing people from over the world, and particularly my colleagues from Ireland, who are just, you know, they're just shining lights every day. Yeah. So I'm just delighted to share this experience with them too.
That's Detective Sergeant Eva Riley again. It sounds very rewarding. I mean, she seems to love her job. How are we regarded by other countries for this particular kind of work?
Very highly, from what I gathered. And I guess that kind of plays into Ireland's soft power on the international stage, which you always hear politicians talking about. We do have a long peacekeeping history in many countries across the world, Cyprus being one of them. And as we know, UNIFIL will be ending soon in Lebanon. So the UN, when I was over there, really did highlight the need for more funding to keep peacekeeping missions going during these times of tension. And again, they kept reiterating to us how much the Irish police are respected there.
You wonder, you know, when you're in Cyprus and they know that our island is divided too, and whether that plays into the interaction.
And I tried to work that into a load of conversations, and they do seem to be aware, not to the full extent, you know, in different interviews I did for different subjects there. But I think they did seem to appreciate that we were coming at it from a place of understanding that we know what divide and what tension is like on an island.
Alex Rowley, thank you very much for that report.
Thanks, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.